Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode is brought to you by Edwards Heritage Consulting. Edwards Heritage Consulting focuses on helping you discover your heritage and roots and is passionate about family, heritage architecture, and genealogy. For more information, contact Helen by email, heritagelady@gmail.com. Again, that's heritagelady@gmail.com. Let her know you found her from OTR Westerns. This episode is going to be Gunsmoke, original air date September 25th, 1960, and the title is Doc Judge. Now, I hope you do enjoy this episode and listen to the end. I'm going to try something slightly different. If you like what you hear at the very end, well, let me know. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Let's get into it, and I hope you enjoy.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Papers for Jeff Worth?
Uh-huh.
I still don't see why you gotta ride the cleaner up there just for him to sign. Can't he do it next time he comes to town?
Now, these are land rights papers, Chester. Government stuff. Jake's not doing me any favor by signing them.
Well, when will I fix that, Mr. Jones?
Not tomorrow evening, probably, unless Jake isn't at home when I get there. It might take longer, I don't know.
I see.
By the way, there's something you can do while I'm gone, if you will.
Yes, sir. What's that?
That door out back. Been off the hinges 2 winters now.
Oh.
Should be awful nice to have it fixed, wouldn't it?
Well, it's awful hot for that kind of work.
Yeah, too hot in the summer, too cold in the winter, huh?
I'll fix it, Mr. Jones.
Good, Chester. And you might clean up out back a little, too. Those cells look like we've been boarding cattle out there, not men.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll see you in a couple of days.
Goodbye, Mr. Jones. Have a nice trip. Sometime I think I might maybe just go to San Francisco and get me a job being a rich millionaire gold digger. Live at a nice big hotel, not never wash up nothing, never. Never do nothing at all except drive around in a fancy rig and have people say, "Good morning, Mr. Proudfoot." Hello. Hello, Doc.
Well, I saw Matt riding out a minute ago.
Yeah, he's went.
Where's he headed for?
He's went out into the country. Won't be back for a day or so.
We left you here alone, huh?
Well, now, it kindly looks that way, don't it?
Must be an important mission. Well, he probably wants to travel alone.
Fast and light. That ain't it at all. He would have took me. But he wants me to stay here and kind of keep an eye on things.
Oh, you mean he wants to know how many killings took place? And how many times the bank was held up, huh? Things like that?
Doc,
I ain't quite as useless as you seem to think.
I know, I know.
I got more to do than ride around all over the country in an old buggy handing out sugar pills to defenseless old ladies or just walking up and down the plaza looking for somebody to gossip with. I don't need some old sawbones to tell me what good I am or not.
The cook at Delmonico's told me they got antelope stew today.
I don't care what the...
Antelope stew? I was kind of looking for someone to eat with.
Antelope stew?
You hungry, by any chance?
Come on, Doc, if we don't hurry, it'll be all gone.
You don't want some more stew?
Well, then, no, thank you, Doc. I just couldn't.
Can't fly on one wing, you know.
Well, maybe you're right. Do not just a little bit more, please.
Yeah, all right. Sure, sure. There you are.
Thank you. Doc, you know that fellow just come in?
No. Why?
Well, he sure looking at you funny. He's coming over here.
I'm Bryce Harp, Judge.
What?
I said my name's Bryce Harp. You remember me?
Well, no, I'm sorry, I don't.
You got a convenient memory, Judge.
Judge? What's this judge doing?
He ain't no judge, mister. A whole lot more likely he'd be on the other side of the bench.
You're luck I run in.
Now, wait a minute, mister. I'm a doctor. I'm not a judge.
What?
A doctor, I said. Oh, he's a doctor, sure enough, mister. And if there's something wrong with your horse, he can prove it.
Oh, shut up, Chester.
So that's it. You're hiding out.
So, now, wait a minute. What in the world are you talking about?
Judge Kennebrew. Big man in Wyoming. Horse doctor in Kansas. What happened, Judge? They tell you I was getting out?
I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about, my friend.
I'm talking about 7 years in state prison. 7 long years you sentenced me to, Judge. 7 years to think about what I'd do when I got out.
I tell you, I'm not a judge, you fool. You laugh into my bill, tell you. Just, I'm Doc Adams.
Judge, I don't care what you call yourself or what you claim to be. I've been waiting 7 years meet up with you again. And it ain't likely you nor anybody else can talk me out of killing you.
Killing you?
That's all I've been waiting for, Judge. And I don't much care how I catch you either.
Now, look here, you... You can't go around threatening people like that.
Don't tell me what I can do. I've had 7 years of people telling me what I can do.
Oh, you're crazy. You're drunk.
Well, I'll see you later, Judge.
I'll be doggone.
Well, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but never a judge.
He said he was going to kill you, Doc.
Oh, they mistook me for someone else. Judge or someone or other. He'll find out the truth soon enough.
Oh, yeah, but he thinks you're just covering up with this doctor business.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much to worry about, Chester. This Bryce Harp is just another pilgrim gone off balance with his hard life out here.
He was mighty pale for a prairie man, Doc.
Prison pallor?
Oh, no. Doc, I don't think you should ought to take this so light. Maybe seriouser than you think.
Nah, Chester, I know a thing or two about people. Harp's just a little off balance, but... Probably won't remember a thing about this by nightfall.
Yeah. Maybe, but I ain't so
sure. Oh, now, look. He wasn't wearing a gun, was he?
Well, no. Come to think of it, he wasn't.
But there you are, you see. The man comes busting in here saying he's going to kill me. He's making threats, and he isn't even armed. Now, just stop threatening. Eat your stew.
Go ahead. Okay, Doc. Yes, you know. But I don't mind telling you, I sure will be easier when he leaves town. Or Mr. Dillon gets back. One or other.
Miss Kitty. Are you drinking tonight?
Oh, might as well, Jeff. Ain't got nothing much else to do. I guess I'll have beer, Sam.
Yeah, you're coming right up, just you.
I hear Matt rode out to Drake Woods' place.
Doc's been here, huh?
Yeah, he stopped in on his way home.
And here you are, Justin.
Did Doc tell you about being mistook for a judge?
Yeah, having his life threatened. That man must be crazy.
And that Doc says he's harmless. He don't even carry a gun.
Well, it's a good thing. Fancy Doc as a judge.
I sure would hate to come up before him if he was. If he got through chewing on you, there wouldn't be enough left to send to jail.
Oh, no, he's not that bad.
You don't know him like I do.
Give me a beer, Barkey. Yeah.
Hmm? That's him. That's my top right there.
No, he doesn't look like any tiger to me.
Maybe not, but he's still kind of hard to figure out.
Hey, you need that old bar to drink that miserable glass of beer? You need the whole saloon to show off in?
Huh?
What's that? You heard me, mister. I don't believe it. You just ain't got enough blood in you to stand there and talk like that. You're wearing a gun. And I'm going to use it to split your head in two.
Pull right there.
Oh.
Did you see that? He said he didn't have a gun.
Then just take it easy, mister. Get out of here. Fast. Sure, I'm going.
Forevermore.
Well, I was sure wrong. That man's quite a tiger after all.
Why, the way he run Bob Forrest out of here, well, I guess he ain't as harmless as Doc thought. That man is a real man.
Chester, how soon do you say Matt will be back?
Well, as I had said, and from the looks of things, that may be too late.
It sure might.
Miss Kitty, you said Doc was on his way home when he come by?
Yeah. Why? What are you going to do?
Well, I better find him and tell him about all this.
Maybe you'd better do more than that.
Like what?
Well, I don't know, but if he's really after Doc, it's no joke.
Yeah, I know. Miss Kitty, do you suppose you could keep Harp here for a while? Just keep an eye on him, like...
Well, I could give him a drink or two in the house.
Yeah, you do that. And I'll see you later. I'm going over to Doc.
You got a plan?
Well, not yet, but I'll think of something. Chester, what are you doing here this time of night? Come on in,
Doc.
As a matter of fact, I'm glad you came. I was looking over some unpaid bills.
Doc.
Your name is pretty prompt.
Never mind that now.
Never mind it. Chester, you owed me way back.
Doc, you ain't going to live long enough to collect it if you don't listen to me.
Oh, all right, what are you talking about?
It's Bryce Harp, Doc. I just seen him in action, or at the long run.
In action?
Well, he didn't kill nobody, but he's got a gun, and he's awful professional with it. But he run Bob Forrest out of that saloon like he was a schoolboy in a punching bag.
He ran that bully out, huh?
He sure did. And, Doc, I think he needs to come here and kill you, and ain't no two ways about it.
Oh, Chester, I told you the man's off balance.
That's the whole trouble, Doc. If he was an ordinary man, just a plain gunman, it wouldn't be so bad, but he ain't. And right or wrong, he's got a grudge against you, and... Well, doggone it, I can't just sit by and let him come murder you.
Well, now, wait just a minute. Now, you... You really think he means business?
No, I know he does, Doc. I know it sure as I'm breathing.
All right. Yes. I'll start carrying a gun.
Doc, how long since you fired that old wreck of a gun?
Well, I'm not too sure I ever fired it.
Then you just be plain foolish to start toting it now. It'll probably blow up anyway.
Well, for heaven's sake, what do you want me to do?
Look, Doc, were you going out any worse tonight?
Well, I don't generally stay cooped up in here for very long.
Will you stay in tonight? Don't you budge out of
here. Oh, now, let me...
I got the idea, Doc, and it might maybe get worse. I'll be back in a little bit. In the meantime, you keep that door locked tight, and don't you open it to nobody. Nobody at all. You hear?
Hey, you mind what I say now?
No, man.
You lock this door, Doc. I'll be back after a bit.
Oh. Just in. Whatever it is, he has in mind. I might as well go along. Lock the door. I'll say one thing. Now that he's got the bit in his teeth, he's really running.
What, you're climbing in my back window for in the middle of the night?
I had to come the back way, Doc. Bryce Harp's down the street out in front. Well, I'm way here, and I seen him. That's why I come in the back way, so he wouldn't see me.
What's Harp doing down the street?
Waiting for his chance to kill you.
Oh, you know, I've been thinking, if he was really out to kill me, he would have tried before now.
Yeah, but he didn't know you were leaving town till just 2 minutes ago.
Leaving town, huh?
It's got to be now or never, the way he sees it.
Well, what are you talking about?
Look, when I left here, I went back over at the Long Branch, and I kind of spread the word around that you were taking the early stage to St. Louis.
St. Louis?
What Harp thinks you're up here packing,
right? Oh, well, that's... Oh, fine. Yeah, that's just fine. If Harp really is serious about killing me, you've set me up like a bird in a turkey shoot.
Yeah, I guess I have that.
What would you want to tell him a fool thing like that for?
Because I figure if he's going to try to kill you, it's better to know when and where he's going to try it. It's a lot better than just sitting around waiting for him to shoot you in the back.
What are you fiddling with those curtains for?
So he'll know for sure you're up here and moving around.
Oh, you're just trying to make sure I get my head blown off, aren't you?
Doc, we can try to shoot you from down there in the street. It'd be too easy to miss.
Oh, that's a fine theory.
Is your front door still locked?
Yeah, yes, it is.
And give me the key.
What?
Give me the key.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Why did you unlock it?
How in the world is Harp going to get in here if the door's locked?
If he comes in that door, we're just as good as dead. We're right in the line of fire.
Of course we are, Doc, but so is he. You better get yourself a comfortable seat. We may have us a long way.
Hey, now, wait, what are you doing? Wait, why did you blow off that lamp?
So with a lamp out, you may think you've went to bed. Then we may not have such a long way.
I hope you know what you're doing, Chester.
So do I, Doc. So do I.
Well, I go.
I guess all we can do now is just wait. Yeah.
Maybe you'll recall this tuneful reminder of times past. is Dennis James with something else worth remembering. It's this. You're so right to stay regular with Kellogg's All Brand. See, it's the normal, natural way to youthful regularity. The whole brand content of Kellogg's All Brand supplies your system with all the bulk-forming food that you need every day. There's only one All Brand. It's Kellogg's All Brand. So relieve irregularity from lack of bulk, as millions do, with a bowl full of Kellogg's All Brand each morning. A-double-L-hyphen-B-R-A-N. It's Kellogg's All Brand.
Thought you weren't coming back till tomorrow.
I ran into Jake Worth at the Benson place. Saved me a day's ride. You live close for the night?
Oh, yeah. But we can always find a drink for a good customer.
It'd help cut the dust, all right.
Beer or whiskey?
A little coffee, I think. We got some.
Bring it over the table, will you, Sam?
You're sure, Miss Kitty.
You look tired. Bad day?
As usual.
Think about how rich you're getting.
No, sir, I am. There you are, Marshal.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's hot.
Yeah. Did you stop by the office?
No, I just rode in. Why?
And you didn't see Chester?
No. Well, is something wrong?
Well, Chester's got in his mind that some fellow's going to try to kill Doc.
Kill Doc? Well, what fellow?
I don't know him. He just rode into town.
Well, have you seen him?
Yeah, he was in here earlier this evening before we closed up. I'll say one thing. He's handy with a gun.
Well, so are half the cowboys in Dodge.
Well, yeah.
You know Chester, Kitty. He gets to feeling his responsibility if I'm away. He sees something suspicious in every shadow.
Well, that may be, but as I get the story, this man thinks Doc is some judge up in Wyoming who put him in prison. And he's going to kill him.
Well, where's Chester now?
I haven't seen him in a couple of hours.
Kitty, this man that's after Doc, do you know his name?
Hart, Chester said it was. Bryce Hart.
Bryce Hart. Kitty, I'll see you later.
Still down there, Chester? Yep. Just standing there. Wonder how long he's gonna... Doc?
What?
He's coming. He's starting for the stairs. Just set tight now and don't make a sound.
No, no, Chester, are you sure?
He'll be there in a minute.
Hart, throw up your hand! Chester, you all right?
Yeah, I think so. Get that lamp lit.
Looks like you got lit from what ain't nothing. You better see the hands off. Just barely. Help me get him up there on the table, will you? How is he, Doc? Reckon you'll make it.
He took a bullet in the shoulder, but it went on through. Just a matter of cleaning the wound. But this other bullet, here, it's still there, and it's got to come out.
What do you think?
Well, I don't know, Chester. It's too soon, you know, just how bad off he is.
You know, it don't give you a very good feeling to shoot a man, even a bad man.
He may be all right. Gangrene didn't set him.
Hey, what's happened?
Oh, so this fellow came up here to take a shot at me, Matt, and Chester put a couple of bullets in him.
I heard the shooting from the other end of town. It sounded like somebody was fighting the Battle of Chickamauga Creek all over again.
Oh, Chester got nicked in the bargain.
You all right, Chester?
Yes, sir. I can tell you one thing, Matt. I'm mighty glad you got back. I swear I've aged a year since yesterday.
Well, from the looks of things, you two got along pretty well without me.
It's a terrible thing, Matt, a man getting shot up like that.
I wouldn't feel too sorry for Bryce Harptock.
Do you know him?
If Chester hadn't stopped him, Harp might have killed you. Well,
who is he, Mr. Jones?
I've never seen him before, but I know his reputation. And I've seen his picture. He killed three men in a gunfight in Wyoming. He got off with 10 years and broke out after 7 of them. Killed 2 guards.
Well, there's nothing more I can do here. I think I'll go on home. Yeah, you do that.
I'll go along, too, Doug.
Yeah, I've got work to do. You two go on. Get out of here.
Yeah, see you tomorrow, Doug.
Chester?
Yeah? Yeah, Doc?
I just want to... Well, thanks.
Sure. All right, Doc.
In Hollywood by Norman McDonald stars William Conrad as Max Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston and adapted by Mr. McDonald. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell and James Nutter. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story on Gunsmoke.
Welcome back. So you're probably wondering, what is this special thing Andrew is doing for the first time that he hasn't done before? Well, I don't know if I haven't done it before, but I haven't done it in a long time. So I've been getting comments on Facebook, otrwesterns.com/Facebook, about adding some comments and some commentary to things that we just listened. So I thought I'd do it to this one episode, see if you like it. Really, feedback is from you guys, so trying to fit that in would be great. But let's go on to this episode. A couple things that got me curious was, you know, he's complaining about fixing the door. Now, Chester always complains, you know, but it's too hot or it's too cold. And it's too hot on the date that this was put out, but he's going to have stew on a hot day. I don't know about you, but eating something hot makes me even hotter. Plus, they didn't have, like, air conditioning or fans or anything like that, so stew on a hot day just seems like a bad idea. The other part is that, you know, at the end, they're talking about the shooting, or they're getting ready, you know, he's coming up. My biggest concern when I heard that was, is it really him? Because Matt happened to be back in town. Could that have accidentally been Matt coming up, and then they just fired and shot and... You know, and then, like Matt ended up saying, is a whole bunch of, you know, sound like, you know, shootout of, you know, whatever reference he used. And That was a lot. I mean, they emptied their guns. And, I mean, he's dying, yes, but he didn't die right away. I'm surprised. You think that many bullets hit, or maybe they didn't hit him, but you think he would have died, you know. And then, of course, Doc goes and fixes him. So it was an interesting episode. I know I've heard it before, even though it hasn't been, it's not a reused strip. So I have heard it before, but it always stands out that, you know, when Matt leaves for whatever reason and leaves Chester in charge, he seems not to be able to do it. Even though, you know, Matt's the marshal, right? So wouldn't that mean Chester's like the deputy marshal? Wouldn't he? I mean, is he just the guy who helps out? They've never really quantified his position or his title. So, very interesting episode. If you liked this commentary, if you were thinking the same thing, or you want to give me feedback on it, shoot me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call, leave me a voicemail. Hey, I don't mind playing these for the next week. Right now, we're on a week schedule, so just know the next episode that's going to end up coming out for today's episode is going, or the next episode is on October 2nd. So put that out there. If you can get that to me before October 2nd, so basically that's exactly 1 week. So the 29th and 30th, if you can get me some emails about this, I can include it into the next week's clip. Otherwise, if you don't like this, or I don't hear anybody, you know, liking it or wanting more of it, then we won't do it. We'll just keep putting the clips out, and I'll clean up the audio, and we'll go from there. Again, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoy the commentary. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/otrwesterns. And don't forget to rate this episode in iTunes, otrwesterns.com/iTunes. This episode is copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a good day.